for the benefit of those people who just joined us, we are actually going through whole discipleship lessons, okay? We're going to be going through specifically lessons related to the Christian faith, okay? For some of us, it might be a refresher, and it's interesting, after every session, there'll be a quiz, okay? So just please make sure that you pay attention to it. It's interesting, some people who are older than the faith, perhaps sometimes we kind of get used to the teachings of the Bible, but we don't actually focus on the details. Now's the time to really focus on the details, okay? Okay, then we'll go ahead and start. Today we're going to deal with the gospel, all right? Our gospel specifically, okay? So let's have a word of prayer first, then we'll go ahead and start, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're going to teach us today. Lord, I believe most of us have trusted you, repented from our sin, and put our faith in Christ. And perhaps, Lord, this is just a refresher, but I pray, Father, that we will know it well, that we might be able to teach to someone else, Lord, who needs Christ. And Father, I pray if there's someone here who has never trusted Christ, that, Lord, you'll help the person to be very clear what it means to be a Christian. And Father, through the learning of your word, we might be able to understand the truth of the gospel. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bring the people in. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles, you can refer there as well, okay, so that we can be reading it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, okay? Turn to your Bibles also so that you can actually refer as we go along, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Ready? Let's read it. Let's read the four verses, okay? Let's read four verses. This will be a memory verse, all right? This will be a memory verse, okay, for next week, okay? But take time to memorize that. Ready? Let's read together first. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye will save. Ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, this is the gospel itself is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Last time I used to think that, yeah, no, the gospel is found everywhere, but actually, in a nutshell, the gospel is found, okay? It is the verse, it's the passage that summarizes everything about the good news of Jesus Christ in this short passage that you can actually use to share with someone else, okay? And this passage is very, very important for every Christian. We need to know it, not just to know the words, but know how to explain the gospel from here. Okay? Now, why do we need to know the right gospel? By the way, I hope you understand there is a right gospel and there is a wrong gospel. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, that there is, and let's turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which is not here. You can add it in, but I just want to give you this passage in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. But if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, which we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was teaching the Corinthian church that they are very, very open to accepting all kinds of teachings. Okay? But when Paul teaches them the right gospel, they're not willing to accept. But here in this passage, it tells us that actually in this world, there's another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, which is not of God. We need to know what is the right gospel. So why is it important? I want us to understand what is the gospel from the passage that we've read, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Every foundational truth about the gospel is covered here. So what? There are three major parts. All right, three major parts to the gospel. So what is the gospel? Firstly, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the first part. That's the first part. Okay, there are 3 points here. Firstly, Christ died. Christ is the Messiah. The Bible teaches us that he is the Messiah according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Okay? He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Which tells us that the whole world, we are all sinners. I think we all know that. Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's read together when you're there. Ready? 1, 2, go. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he, referring to God the Father, had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. When he died on the cross, he took our sin. In other words, he was perfect, he was innocent, but when he was crucified on the cross, what he did was he took our place. Okay? I didn't, for example, if I don't owe any money, but someone else owed money, and the person cannot pay, I pay for that person. It means I take that person's place to pay for it. That's what Jesus did for us, okay, with regards to sin. All right, so Jesus died for our sins. We have to understand that it's our sins. So that's the first part of the gospel, and it's according to the scriptures. Why is it according to the scriptures? Everything that the Old Testament talked about Jesus was fulfilled in Jesus' life. Okay? Now, in the life of Jesus, there were about 333 prophecies, and every one of them, with regards to the life of Christ and the death of Christ, was fulfilled. Okay, so Jesus died according for our sins according to the scriptures. Okay, any questions? Okay. Next one. And he was buried. That's the second part of the gospel. Christ was buried. What does that tell you? When do you bury a person? When he dies. Okay? So we have to be very clear. Being buried indicates that Christ really died. Now, this is an important truth because the Jehovah's Witness will teach you that Jesus Christ didn't die, he fainted. And then he woke up again in the grave. Okay? But the Bible was very clear, Jesus died according to the scriptures. Okay? Now, this burial was actually prophesied about 700 years before. And that is a very interesting thing. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53. Okay, let me just read that. The Bible says, and he, referring to Christ, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither any deceit in his mouth. This verse was written about 700 years before Jesus Christ actually died. But the accuracy of the prophecy is seen in three things. Number one, he made his grave with the wicked. In other words, he was buried the same as all the sinners. That's one. Number two, he made his grave with the rich. Why with the rich? Because his grave was the grave of Joseph of Arimathea, who was a very rich man. This particular man is a believer. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he actually went and said, Pontius Pilate, can I have the body to bury, to put Jesus in? Okay? So he was a rich man, he had a grave, and he put Jesus in. And the third thing that is interesting is because he had done no violence, neither any deceit found in his mouth, neither was any deceit in his mouth. That means the Lord Jesus Christ was holy. If you can control your tongue, you're a very pure man. Or rather, you're a very mature man. You know what to say, what not to say. All right? But here, it says there's no violence and there's no deception. So the Lord Jesus Christ was pure and holy. So there's a second part. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. Okay? And he rose again the third day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very important part of scripture. Okay? Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he died and he was buried. If he remained in the grave, it means he has no power over sin. And when we die, we will just stay in the grave. But if Jesus Christ is able to rise from the dead, it shows a few things. One, he's overcome sin. Okay, I'll just go through this. His resurrection indicates victory over death. All of us have to die. I'm talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian, it's also true. Okay? For Christians, all of us have to die. But you know the hope that Christians have is when we die, we don't have to stay dead. We have victory over death. That means one day we will live again. Okay? His resurrection indicates victory over death. Number two, His resurrection indicates victory over sin. Over sin. There are some people who say, I cannot overcome this sin. That's not from the Bible. As a Christian, you have the power to overcome sin. You do have the power to overcome sin. But you have to be in Christ. You have to be walking with Him to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and then help you to break the bonds of sin, unless you don't want to. Okay? And His resurrection proves He's the Son of God. Okay? I'll read from Romans chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you can. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. I'll just read. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus' resurrection proves that He is the Son of God, also known as God. Okay? In the Bible, the Son of God is equals to God. All right? In the, for us today, the Jehovah's Witness, no, He's just a Son of God. No, He's not. He's God. All right? It's just like saying, if I'm a father, right? But I'm also a husband. I'm also the pastor. I'm also an occupational therapist. Different titles, same person. Does that make sense? That's why I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is also the Rose of Sharon, right? He's also the Bright and Morning Star. It doesn't mean that it's different, but it's the same person. The Son of God refers to Christ, okay? For the gospel is threefold. One, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And He rose again according to the scriptures, okay? Any question? How will we know if the gospel is true? Brother Johnny, I mean, there are many people who claim to be the Messiah. There are many people, there are many so-called religions of this world. I'm not saying this to put down any religion. It's just a belief system. How do we know that the gospel is true? All right, there are two reasons. The Old Testament prophecies tells us that it is true. All right, there are hundreds of prophecies, about 300 of them, that tells us Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Okay? I'll give you a few, all right? You just listen, okay? I'll give you a few. The scripture prophesies that Jesus would die by crucifixion, okay? And it's interesting, it's not there, but I'll just give you from my notes, okay? Jesus was prophesied that He will die by crucifixion. And it's interesting, an interesting note, in the book of Deuteronomy and book of Psalms, when they actually prophesied that He would die by crucifixion, crucifixion was never invented yet. That should be a very interesting note for you. But God has already said, cursed is the man that hangeth on the tree. That's in Deuteronomy. Galatians is brought out also. But when Jesus was died on the cross, remember His death was, the way He was died wasn't even invented yet. Okay? It was invented by the Romans in before Christ, about 400 years before Christ. Okay? But Deuteronomy was written about 2,000 years before the coming of Christ. That should give you a little bit of trust as Christians that the Bible is true, okay? Because God actually prophesied that. Another thing, the scripture also prophesied that the soldiers would gamble for Jesus' robe at the foot of the cross. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? The soldiers were saying, let's gamble for the clothing because this clothing is holy man's clothing, all right? And that was already prophesied about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ died. Okay, I'll give you one more. The scripture also prophesied that Jesus would thirst. In Psalm 22, verse 15, remember Jesus said, I thirst. Even the words of Jesus was already prophesied hundreds of years before. Okay? So this should give us confidence that the gospel is true. But the second one is there were many, many witnesses to the gospel. Many, many witnesses who, after Jesus Christ died, rose again, saw Jesus after He rose again. After He rose again. Okay? Example, there are 500 witnesses who saw Jesus after He died. And interesting, this is interesting. Before Jesus died, non-believers, those people who don't believe, and those people who believe, saw Jesus. But did you know that after the resurrection, only believers saw Jesus? There were no unbelievers. 500 witnesses saw Jesus after He rose from the dead, the resurrection. Jesus' own half-brother was convinced to 1 Corinthians 15. Just now you were there. The Bible says, After that, I'll read verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Okay? Paul was saying that after the resurrection of Jesus, 500 people saw, some of them died, but some of them are still alive. You know why he said that? He said, if you don't believe, go and find these people, that they actually saw Jesus. All right? Then in verse 7, he said, and after that, he was seen of James. Who was James? James is a half-brother of Jesus. James, Joseph, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, didn't believe him before. But after he rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus was concerned for his own brother that he actually appeared to James. James was convinced, and James is the pastor of the first church at Jerusalem. And he was martyred. And he wrote the epistle of James. Okay? Many lives were dramatically changed when they saw Christ, and Paul's own life, not lives, life was changed when he saw Christ as well. Okay? The power of the gospel, one of the things that we understand, when we understand the gospel and trust Christ as our Savior, you will have a conversion. In other words, last time I used to walk this direction, but now I'm walking that direction because I've met Christ. I understood who Jesus is. Okay? Any questions? Now, I'm going to go through this, but I'll go back because there's one part I think it's not inside there. I don't know why it's kind of got lost. What does Paul mean to believe in vain? And this is going to be a very serious part of this presentation because, not presentation, Sunday school. Because I'm afraid some people who claim to believe in Christ are actually not saved. And that's a scary thought. Because we've always been taught that, oh, as long as you put your faith in Jesus, you're saved. There are two parts to the gospel. What are two parts? Biblical repentance and biblical salvation, biblical putting faith in Christ, finished work, equals to salvation. Many people put the belief part, but they don't have the repentance part. Okay? Now, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye receive, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye will save, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed to no purpose. Okay? I actually forgot to bring slips of paper, but I'll ask you this question. Unless ye have believed in vain, means, let me ask you a question, okay? Answer in your own mind. I've asked some of my children, why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Who would dare to answer the question? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Anyone would like to answer that question? Why are you a question? Why are you a question? Sorry, why are you a Christian? Sorry. Why are you a Christian? Yes, sir. Yep. Okay. 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 So it's not your own will. Okay. So that means you're a Christian because you've... Okay. So which means that you are a Christian because your parents made you a Christian. Okay. Okay, that's one question. That's a very honest answer. Okay, anyone else? In fact, that's a good answer because it's very honest. All right? Anyone else? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Okay, okay, okay. Yep. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's get some more insights from someone else. Why are you a Christian? Joshua, why are you a Christian? Do. Because I'm sure you're discussing the question. Okay, pay attention, all right? Pay attention. Don't distract each other. Anyone else? Why are you a Christian? Brother Joshua, why are you a Christian? Okay, so you agree with the person, so you become a Christian. But why are you a Christian? Someone shared with you that you were a sinner and you're on your way to hell and that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you agree with that person that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you put your faith in that. That's why you're a Christian. Anyone else? This one I'm supposed to do with you, but never mind. I hope you will ask that question yourself, because only you can answer that question. Like Uncle Michael was very honest to say, my mommy, daddy baptized me, so I just follow. Okay? And many people say that. You know, when I was in the Philippines, I was talking to this person. The Philippines are Catholics primarily. So I asked him, I believe and I'm baptized and all that. I just follow. And I asked him, sir, would you make it to heaven if you die? And he said, I hope so. I hope so. I hope I've tried to do good. Okay? In fact, all religions teach good. Now I told him that, sir, if you follow your religion, you're not gonna make it to heaven. And then I shared with him the gospel that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures because we're all sinners. Okay? Now, believing in vain, let me just explain this, okay? That because one can believe in vain by believing the wrong thing. You can actually believe the wrong thing. Okay, in John chapter 2, verse 23. I'll just read that. This passage tells us that we can actually believe the wrong thing. In John chapter 3, verse 23, John chapter 2, verse 23, let me read. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many people believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. They believed in the miracles. They believed because they saw the miracles. The second verse is, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and it is not that any should testify of men, for he knew was in men. That means that there are people who saw him doing the miracle. Oh, wow, he can be a miracle worker. Wow, I put my faith in him. Now, do you believe the wrong things? Because Jesus did not come to show us miracles. He came to save us. So they believe the wrong things. Many people go to different churches, they see, and then, wow, this church is very good, leh. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. And when you go to a church that's very small, old, and all that, I don't think this is a church. I won't believe in Jesus. They believe in the wrong things. Like, for example, I gave you an illustration last week when we went to the Philippines. Brother Joshua Cox saw correctly. It was terminal what? We were supposed to go to terminal 2, right? All right? So I thought the SQ flight to the Philippines was from terminal 3. So I told him, Brother Joshua Kok, I meet you at Terminal 3. Brother Joshua Kok said, no, Pastor, the itinerary said Terminal 2. So I said, then I said, no, it's Terminal 3. I see you there. Then after I look at the, oh yeah, Brother Joshua Kok, you're right. It's Terminal 2. I believe so much that I asked the, you know, when you go overseas, sometimes you have this wireless router that you can actually collect. Okay? I believe it so much that we're supposed to Terminal 3 that I plan to collect the router from Terminal 3 because I believe that it's Terminal 3. But I'm wrong. Okay? Thank God Terminal 3 and Terminal 2 right now, they have this this kind of link bridge that you can walk quickly across. Okay. Brother Joshua was right because he was looking at the scriptures. He was looking at the itinerary. And so, if I insist Terminal 3, how? Then I will not be on my way to the Philippines, okay? Does it make sense? You know, we can believe what we want. It doesn't really matter. It matters what the itinerary say. Okay? That's why we can believe in vain, number one. Number two, we can believe without repentance. Jesus is very clear. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. In fact, he said it 2 times. Luke 13, verse 3 and 5. Let's turn to Acts 26:20. Remember, verse 20, the Bible says, but shoot first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works me for repentance. They should repent. I heard a preacher said this, Jesus is not going to say, just believe in me and let us continue the way we live. No parent would rightly, in their right mind, allow that to happen. If they know their children is going wayward, they say, you guys got to turn back. You cannot just keep doing this way. The Lord Jesus is not going to save rebels and let them go to heaven. No. There must be a conversion. There must be that repentance from sin and say, I don't believe that anymore. Remember one of the, you will read in today's article, one of the first things of genuine salvation is a rejection of false religion. Because you know that Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no other way, okay? So one can believe in faith without that. This is probably the reason why after you get saved, people still continue in their sin. They're not saved. They cannot be saved. Because there was no repentance. They didn't understand that they cannot continue in their sin. And some people understand here, but they don't actually, they just say, no, I'm a Christian because I put my faith in Christ, but they didn't put the repentance part. Anyone who is genuinely saved will understand sin. Okay? And want to repent from it and turn away from it. I'll give you a simple illustration for the students. When you do spelling and you got it wrong, you have to do correction, right? If you don't do correction, how? Then the teacher will mark you down again and again and again for the same thing. And you have not changed. You have not learned anything. It's only when you do the correction and say, yes, teacher, you are right, I'm wrong, I will do the correction. Then you have repented, you change your mind, and you learn a new thing. Does that make sense? Okay? One can believe in vain by believing a false gospel. In other words, a false gospel could be, today there are many false gospels. The prosperity gospel is one, that God is a God that gives you everything, and as long as you, it's God's will for you to get good health, it's God's will for you to, when you give money, then God will give you $100,000 more, or something like that. But that's not the Christ of the Bible. Okay? Now, let me just say three things, which I don't know why it's not there. Why do we need the right gospel? Okay, why do we need the right gospel? There are three more passages, and after that we'll actually be watching. Let me just see. Okay. Why do we need the right gospel? Three reasons. One, it's not there, so you have to actually follow here. We need to know the right gospel because it's the only way of salvation. Only way of salvation. Just like Uncle Michael say, he believed that Jesus is the only way. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 says, that in the gospel you stand. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's in 1 Corinthians, John 14, 6. Okay? Number two, we need to hold to the right gospel because Paul warned that every false gospel is cursed of God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Let me just read there. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Christ that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The word accursed is a very serious word. It means let him be condemned to hell. Let him be cursed. So let's say if you all have heard the gospel and you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, he was buried and rose again, and then I, Pastor Johnny, come and tell you, no, you need to give money to the church and then you can go to heaven. You know what God says, Pastor Johnny? You are cursed to hell. Because by preaching that, people believe that, but they go to hell. That's why God takes a very serious view if we don't preach the right gospel. Okay? The third reason why we need to know the right gospel, because Jesus commanded us to preach this gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I give you an illustration. When I was in Australia, I think I shared this before. There was a pastor friend of mine. There was a church, pastor, yeah. The daughter was trying to play tricks on a three-year-old. Okay? Oh, children are smiling already. And the trick she played was, okay, Brittany, which is a little girl now today, she's probably 20 plus already. So she was 3 years old at the time. Brittany, this is your left hand. written in, this is your right hand. I said, don't do that. Her name is Corina. I can't remember Corina. Don't do that. You know what? Brittany actually believed this is her left hand. I mean, she's 3 years old. Huh? You know why we need to know the right gospel? Because those people who are not sure they can believe you, and if they believe, and you tell them the wrong gospel, they'll die and go to hell. Okay? So those are the three reasons why we need to know the gospel. I'm going to show you a presentation of the gospel. Some of you may have seen this before. I hope the sound is off. It's actually it's about 5 minutes. So if you're not too sure of the gospel, I hope this video would put it all together for you and you understand. Okay, before the quiz time, I hope that helped you see. You know what was the tragic mistake? The red light and the tree was not supposed to go. It's like God says, stop, you're not supposed to sin. But keep going. We just keep doing what we want. It was headed for disaster. Because in the bridge master's mind, when he puts red light, the bridge will open maybe for maybe a boat to go through and all that. But when the red light was on, supposed to stop the train did not listen. Just like all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The train kept going. The father saw, and the son also saw, look, the train's coming there, we need to do something. And the child probably knew what to do, he wanted to pull a lever, but unfortunately he fell in, right? So the dad had to say, because the child is inside, and the dad had to pull the lever, because if not, he has a choice, either save his son, or save the train. He pulled, and what happened to the child who's inside? The bridge actually closed, and these are hundreds of tons of metal crushing the sun. Jesus did that for us. Okay, and the last part about the hope that this lady, hopefully it will be our testimony that if God did so much for us, how can we continue in sin? We cannot continue in sin. That's why repentance is such an important thing. And I hope as Ambassador Baptist Church members and visitors, we will remember this for the rest of our life. It's just a way of showing us. But Jesus, God the Father did much more. He gave his own son, who died a death he did not deserve. You know, one of the things that really captured my heart was when the train was going, no one knew what happened. No one knew what happened. But the lives were saved. The same that many people today, when they come to church, they think they can just do what they want. But Jesus already died. He was crushed by our sin, for our sin, so that we can have eternal life. You know, as Christians, as pastor, one of the things I live my life, I realize one thing, the only way I can live a life that will reflect what Christ did was to, is to live a grateful Christian life, a life that is grateful for what Jesus did. You know, it's either you get it or you not, or you don't. The Holy Spirit have to make this so sure, clear in your hearts. Any questions before we take the quiz? Any questions? Perhaps at this time, maybe let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come and understand your gospel. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will open the hearts of those people who have never understood the gospel. Lord, firstly, I pray for Christians. Many of them have turned away from their sin and put their faith in Christ. I pray today, Lord, that they will understand afresh what it means. What it meant when you had to send your son to die for our sin. I pray, Father, that these things will help us understand what a great sacrifice you had to go through in order to save us from our sin. But we thank you on the third day we rose again, which gave us hope for a new life. A hope of a home in heaven, and hope, Lord, of our sins forgiven, our conscience be clear, and hope that one day, Lord, we will see our loved ones again. also hope, Father, for an abundant life of serving Christ and being faithful to you. So, Father, I thank you. I pray also for those who have never understood the gospel. Perhaps they believe because someone else told them to. But I pray today they will believe because they want to, because of what Jesus has done. That they'll turn their hearts away from everything else that will stop them, Lord, from the gospel. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask this question. If there's someone who said, Pastor, I understand now the gospel after learning the lesson and seeing the video presentation. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin. I believe that he was buried according to the scriptures. And I believe he rose again for me. Not for the world, but for me. I'd like to repent from my sin. I'd like to turn away and realize that Jesus died for me. I'll put my faith in Christ. If there's someone like that, just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And really at this time, to have someone share with you the gospel so that you can be sure. Don't worry about the quiz. This is more important. Is there someone like that? Pastor, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe. I understand now why Jesus is so important. I understand now. I want to put my faith in Christ and turn away from my sin. Is there someone like that? Just put up your hand. I'll pray for you. Ask someone to share with you. Is there someone? Father, I thank you for this opportunity. We're not going to rush. We're not going to force. We can't. But I pray, Lord, that this will help our understanding more and more of the gospel. I pray, Lord, that even as Ambassador Baptist Church members and Christians for some time, that this lesson will help us remember what you have done for us. And as a result, live a life that will be glorifying to you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.